the Lac des Flambeaux Tribal Council says for now, roads at the center of a dispute with the town will stay open. It's Thursday, January 16th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, money set aside to help fund new reading curriculum in Wisconsin could soon disappear. And a 157-year-old brewery is set to close this week despite efforts from the Leinenkugel family to save it. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep. When you roll out of bed, bleary-eyed and groggy, if you're like me, the first thing on your mind is getting something to wake you up. So turn on the radio. NPR's daily news program, Morning Edition, has been working through the night to get you the news you need. It's as essential to your morning as a good cup of coffee. So hit the ground running by listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Lac des Flambeaux Tribal Council voted yesterday to keep roads open that are at the heart of a long-standing dispute with the town. As Daniel Kading reports, that prompted a federal judge to decline a request to bar the tribe from blocking roads on its reservation.
Tribal leaders voted to keep roads open after previously threatening to block them until the town paid access fees. The town and homeowners asked a federal court to intervene. A federal judge issued an amended order to clarify that the federal government is not only barred from restricting access to roads, it's also required to prevent anyone from blocking them until a lawsuit over the dispute is resolved. Lac des Flambeaux tribal spokesperson Araya Breedlove read a statement from tribal president John Johnson Sr., who said he's disappointed with the town board.
It's unfortunate that they continue to spend money on expensive Milwaukee attorneys rather than a reasonable, equitable solution with the tribe. Our priority is the well-being and safety of everyone in our community.
Some homeowners said they just want access to their homes. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Millions of dollars meant for changing the way reading is taught in Wisconsin schools could disappear. The Joint Finance Committee has until June 30th to release $50 million set aside to fund the program. If it's not, the money will go into the state's massive surplus. The Republican-led committee has been at odds with the Department of Public Instruction for a year over the funding. State Superintendent Jill Underley says without the funds, school districts are stuck paying for the new reading curriculum themselves.
It's just a shame the legislature and the Joint Finance is playing politics with this, especially when they were so upfront about how much they supported it in the beginning. But really, their true colors have shown here by not releasing it.
Republican co-chairs of the Joint Finance Committee say they support efforts to increase literacy, but they say they're holding on to the money because Governor Tony Evers vetoed portions of the reading bill. The Wisconsin-based Penzi Spice Company has been mailing out tens of thousands of free spices to residents of Washington, D.C. The mysterious packages contain small packets of a spice mix labeled Resist. It's themed around the return of President-elect Donald Trump to the White House. Brittany Prime is a political consultant and D.C. resident. She said she was surprised to find the package at her door and a little confused about what to do next.
I'm not about to go protest the inauguration down the street from me or anything like that. I will cook with some spices. I'll share them with my lovely neighbors, and I guess we'll go from there. I don't know. Am I doing it right, Penzi? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
The company's owner, Bill Penzi, has been an outspoken Trump critic for years. Trump's second inauguration is set for Monday. Dick and Jake Leinenkugel say they tried to open discussions to save their family's former brewery in Chippewa Falls, but Rich Kramer reports their offer was rejected and the historic facility is slated to close tomorrow.
The Leinenkugel Brewery has been a cornerstone of Chippewa Falls for more than 150 years. Leinenkugel's parent company, Molson Coors, is now shutting it down. Dick Leinenkugel says he and his brother Jake tried to start talks about buying it back and keeping the 56 workers employed. Miller Coors said no. Leinenkugel says they gathered employees at the Liney's Lodge on Thursday, possibly for the last time.
And it felt like a funeral wake, but in another way, it gave us an opportunity to thank and recognize those that worked at our brewery in the past and in our current employees.
Leinenkugel says he and his brother would like to buy the brewery back, if even to start a new beer brand, but that can't happen without a willing seller. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, Wildfires have damaged major portions of the Los Angeles area, but they can also happen here in Wisconsin. We'll hear from the DNR's wildfire prevention specialist on how we can minimize the risk here in the state. Stay with us.
Wisconsin life is about the food.
Tacos.
Who doesn't love a taco?
Exactly.
Everybody says, oh, this tastes good. How do you season it? Oh, we can't tell you. Just eat some more.
I wish my lemonade would be so famous that I could just walk down a red carpet.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
Wildfires in and around Los Angeles have been burning for more than a week and still are not yet contained. Southern California is uniquely susceptible to wildfires, but they can still happen here in Wisconsin. Nearly half of Wisconsin's towns, cities, and villages are described as being at high or very high risk of destructive wildfires. That's according to the State Department of Natural Resources. Wisconsin Today host Rob Ferret spoke with the DNR's wildfire prevention specialist, Catherine Cooley, on how we can minimize the risk of wildfires.
When people think Wisconsin and disaster, they might say, oh, tornado, flood, snow, ice, maybe drought. Make the case that we should have, in many parts of the state, wildfires on our radar.
Well, obviously, we're all watching the news very closely, and it hits home for a lot of us, and especially in the fire community. Spring is wildfire season in Wisconsin. Kind of a big misconception. You know, folks don't realize that we have fires, wildfires here in Wisconsin. In fact, we have over 1,000 fires every year. And we suppress, 2,600 to 3,000 acres every year. So fires do exist here in the Great Lakes region.
And you mentioned spring wildfire season in Wisconsin. What's going on in our conditions that make that ripe for a wildfire?
Yeah, people think, summer, it's hot, that's when fires are going to happen. But in Wisconsin, it's right when that snow cover disappears prior to vegetation greening up. So we typically, in a normal fire year, it'll start in the southern part of the state and it kind of progressively moves north as that snow cover disappears, when you have all that dead and dry vegetation. And then that coupled with human activity. So 98% of our fires in Wisconsin are caused by people. Folks are outside cleaning up around their yards and choosing to burn materials. And then, the weather is obviously a very important factor. So on those dry, windy, low humidity days, that's when we tend to see those sparks.
You've got a resource at the DNR, a list of communities around the state by county and then alphabetical by community within that, that shows areas of concern. People can go and see that. What makes a community show up as red on that list? I was looking at it. There's a fair amount of red there.
Yeah, it is shocking to read. We have over 500 some communities at risk. And basically what that means is that there's a lot of different factors that go into that. We have a lot of very intelligent people that look at kind of the soil, how the drainage index, which is how soils are made up, the topography, the vegetation. Vegetation is a big component of how we identify those communities at risk. So when you see areas of, the sandy soils coupled with pine country, so very conifer, pine trees, jack pine, those are pockets of really high fire intensity probability. So we look at also, we're getting more into some of how fire behaves in these communities as well. So in those pine areas, the fires can actually, move up into the crowns, and those can be very difficult to suppress. So that's what elevates that fire risk in those communities.
Catherine, before we talk about stopping the spread of wildfires, let's talk about stopping the spark of wildfires. What should people in their homes, their businesses, their recreation be thinking about? What kind of precautions should we be taking?
Well, it's kind of a three-tiered approach is how I like to think of it. So we first off need to prevent fires from happening. We need to prepare for them because they can happen without, our no fault of our own, right? And then we also need to plan for them. So but preventing is my wheelhouse. That's what I do for a living. Is my focus is trying to reduce the number of wildfires, human caused unwanted fire. So knowing the fire danger, getting burning permits, you know, finding alternatives to burning. And then on those elevated fire days, really, you know, using you folks, the media, to inform the public and social media, and then also, you know, reporting fires early so we can get to them and suppress them and keep them small. Then on the preparing side, you know, it's, you know, making your home defensible from a wildfire, you know, choosing, you know, to rake around your yard, cleaning out fire, your rain gutters from pine needles. That's where those embers land. That's what can cause your home to burn down. It's not the big flame front that comes through. It's the small things around your house, stacking your wood pile next to your structures.
And something I noticed on the DNR website, we're talking about homes, but also you talk about that sandy, piney land. Well, that might be somebody's cabin. And, you know, they're up there a few times, handful of times through the summer, and they may notice, oh, we got those pine needles on the roof and in the gutter. We got to deal with that sometime. Put that at top of mind for people who have those vacation homes and dealing with that to make sure they don't do it too late.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess the biggest thing is preventing fires. So a lot of times what we'll see in these seasonal parts of the state is we have what's called weekend warriors. They'll come up and clean up around their yard, and they choose to burn those materials. So obviously the first thing we need to do is find alternatives to burning. So clean up around your yard. There are, you know, transfer sites. You can leave the brush or pine needles, you know, away from your home in the woods for wildlife habitat to enjoy. So think of other ways to get rid of those materials. Now, if the ground is completely snow covered for the duration of your burn, you know, you can burn some of those materials. That is going to be the safest option if you choose to burn some of those materials.
Catherine Cooley is the DNR's wildfire prevention specialist. She spoke with Wisconsin Today host Rob Ferret. And real quick, a check of weather before we let you go for the day. It's going to be a lot warmer today than it has been here in Wisconsin, with high temperatures in the 20s in the north and 30s in the south. Mostly cloudy, though, and we will see some wind gusts up near 15 miles per hour at times. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.